You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're listening to Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors on The Sports Objective. Join Coach C, the USA Strength and Conditioning Hall of Famer, every Monday night as he and a variety of guests, including former players, former and current coaches, pastors, and others, will discuss relevant issues in coaching today's athlete, with the goal of equipping the athlete and those coaching them with the physical, mental, and spiritual armor necessary to live their best life. Here's Coach Connors.
Welcome to Absolute Empowerment. Tonight we have a long time and well-known strength and conditioning professional, Chip Sigmund. And Chip, it's such an honor to have you on the show. Thanks a lot for taking the time to come on.
Well, Jeff, Coach, as I said, I am more than humbled and flattered that you would have me. I've watched about every one of your podcasts. You had Jerry Palmieri on, good friend of mine, Jerry Palmieri, who I met at University of North Carolina. We'll get into that, but I commend you, Coach. We talked about it. I'll tell you, your listeners, I commend you for what you're doing. Just extraordinary. Hall of Fame strength coach as you are. Gosh, the world of strength conditioning knows you and what you're doing on this podcast, reaching people, helping people, young men and women. You are truly to be commended. Thank you for having me, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it. One of the things that I'm looking to do here is find brothers in Christ, because I certainly need that support myself, and I fight a battle every day. We talked a lot, and I've talked to a lot of people on the podcast about the spiritual battle that we face every day.
Amen.
And we'll talk more about that. Let's talk a little bit about, and what we have tonight is actually a golden age discussion, because we've got a few years under our belts. I was very flattered to be included in the book, The Golden Age of Strength and Conditioning, and you were certainly integral in that project. And so I want to thank you for that. And I just thought it was there were so many great individuals in there with a story, and when you go back to where this profession began, we had so many challenges that we didn't even realize, and whoever thought that those individuals in our positions would make the kind of money that they're making today. But it says quite a bit for where the profession has has come. And the only part of that is you better win to hang on to that money. So,
amen. Yeah, that's the stress that comes with that compensation. So yeah, you're exactly right, Coach.
Well, what I want to talk about, Chip, when you, as far as your interest as a young man in strength and conditioning, you had a successful career in bodybuilding. Talk a little bit about that growing up and how you got interested in bodybuilding and athletics. I'm not sure what your athletic involvement was, but give me a little bit of background there.
Oh, thanks, Coach. I think it was like everybody else, early at an early age, but we, both you and I, came up in the 70s. I remember my high school strength coach said, guys don't lift weights. But I did anyway. I was 100. I wrestled in high school at 140, I think the weight class, 142. And I needed to get as strong and as, wanted to get strong and big. I played running back, defensive back in high school, ran on the track team. And so lifting, it just felt good. I remember, Coach, when I was in the sixth, seventh grade, in the mid 60s, my dad got me a set of Ted Williams. Remember Ted Williams, the baseball player?
Absolutely.
And Sears, he had a plastic weights. Ted Williams. Ted Williams probably never lifted a weight in his life. And here he is, has got this, plastic weight set. And I had it in my room under my bed. I'd bring it out and lift. And so all, I remember in high school, we got our a universal machine. Remember that in the early 70s, 72, the coaches started on that. We did a circuit. Nobody knew what this doing. 30 seconds. Now you go to another station, 30 seconds, go to another station. Great for endurance, not a lot of muscular endurance, not a lot for strength. But as time goes on, then I got a college football scholarship to Lees McRae Junior College because I just enjoyed it. I was still too small, and I wasn't going to make any major D1 school for sure. But I remembered I had a pretty good 2 years at Lees McRae. I could have gone on to play at Catawba College. The coach there at Lees McRae went to Catawba. He's a Chip. I want you to come with me. No, coach, because I got into weight training. And I transferred to Appalachian State, the Mountaineer Health Club. I got a little bit of powerlifting, but then there was a guy there by the name of John Roten, who was an Olympic lifter and got me into bodybuilding. And I competed, started competing in 76 and competed all the way up through 83. But that was I remember, coach, I didn't mention to you, we talked earlier, of course, this afternoon. But here's how it came to be. And in the Golden Age of Strength Conditioning book, your story's in there. 32 coaches are in there. And this is a part of my story, and I'll tell it a little bit tonight. I won the Mr. North Carolina in 1977 when I was a student at Appalachian State. And all of us, one day, I don't know how he got my telephone number, the baseball coach, Jim Morris, called me up, the baseball coach. And we're still friends, good friends to this day. He was a legendary baseball coach. He's in the Hall of Fame at Appalachian State. But he called me up that was 1977. I said, Chip, and I'm an undergraduate, I want you to train our baseball team. We had an old Appalachian State, had an old universal machine in the gymnastics room. And that's what I did. That semester, I trained the baseball team. Won't go into what we did or anything, and half the things we did now were terrible, but back then, that's what we knew. We won the Southern Conference Championship. We led the nation, I believe, I'm pretty sure, in home runs. I know we led the conference in home runs. And I knew then that's what I wanted to do. And so I continued. Came back to my hometown, Kannapolis, to coach and teach. I coached football. I was a head junior varsity football coach and coached the defensive ends for the high school level. Then I coached track. I coached junior high and high school track. And so that really, I enjoyed it so much. But then I was still competing in bodybuilding at the time. And so I won some, the Mr. Southeastern AAU and some others, placed high, top five. Well, in the early 80s, I finished third in the Mr. Mid-America. Should have won it. When they announced my name for third place, just a little for entertainment purposes here. Man, you should have heard that. This was in Dallas, Texas at the Dallas Convention Center. And back then, the golden age of bodybuilding, it was hot. That auditorium, that convention center was packed. When they called my name out for third place, the place went nuts, booing. You've never heard the such. And I asked the judges, Chip, you lost because of your posing, not because of how I looked. And that was, that was back then, posing was. So the next year I went back to Fort Worth, Texas, the Lone Star Classic. Bodybuilding, huge theater in Fort Worth, Texas. And I won the overall. I placed third in Mid-America overall. Well, I'm at the gym in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where I went to train. I'm still teaching high school. And said, Chip, Joe Weider's on the phone. Yeah, right. He wants to talk to you. He wanted me to come out, spend a few days there, have John Balick, the famous photographer for Weider, film me in the studio, took pictures at World Gym outside. I trained at Gold's Gym, but they took pictures outside at World Gym. But I had to get back because, Jeff, I had an interview at the University of North Carolina's assistant strength coach under Mike Marks, Jerry Palmieri, me. And thank God that I had that interview because it changed the course. Because here it is, the deal, Jeff. I was so selfish back then. Well, I got home. I got the job, but I can't remember. It was before I went to the University of North Carolina. But here's the deal, Jeff. I said, Chip, and this is the gospel truth, I've got a picture downstairs in my office. As you can see, I'm in my garage gym. But downstairs in my office, I've got a letter framed from Joe Weider. Chip, you were scheduled to be on the front cover of Muscle Fitness. He wanted me to stay out there, and I didn't know it at the time. I came back. But he got mad because that's the way Joe Weider is. You turn him down. I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
So if I would have known, if I'd have had bodybuilders say, because I ran into a few well-known, but if I think the Lord kept those people away from me. Because if somebody out there had said, Chip, we want you to stay, train for the Mr. USA, dadgum right, screw the University of North Carolina. I'm going to be Mr. USA. I'm going to have my bodybuilding. But there's something that pulled me toward that. I knew I wanted to be a strength conditioning coach. So I continued. So I thank God that I went to the University of North Carolina and my direction changed. Because I can say, Jeff, and I say this very humbly, I see bodybuilders from my age, they still post pictures on the internet of them competing long ago. I have more than that. I don't do a lot of that. I do maybe for my business, but you'll very rarely see me post. I post on, the only reason I'm on social media is for Facebook and Instagram for my business. And it's not me, it's my athletes and their progress or my personal training clients. But So I thank God I took that direction. And there's more to my life than just bodybuilding. Right now, so from the University of North Carolina, if you want me to go into this, I will, Jeff. I don't mean to all the time. Do you want me to go right into after North University of North Carolina? Do you want me to do that now, Jeff? So that was my bodybuilding.
I wanted to mention a couple things. First of all, a little bit about some of the people, because you know, I used to read every magazine known to mankind that had any kind of training in it back in the day. Of course, Muscle and Fitness, or I actually have the whole 12 issues of Strength and Health magazine from 1942 that have never been opened.
Wow.
I still have those, and I've got a ton of vintage bodybuilding magazines right here in this room. So I really enjoy reading a lot of that stuff because a lot of it has not changed. And it's also very interesting how there was so much criticism about these guys that were actually, they were bodybuilders, but they were actually acrobats, and they were so flexible and athletic and explosive, and you know, they're basically made fun of. So interesting to me, Casey Viator. I don't know if you remember Casey Viator.
I saw him, Jeff, real quick. I traveled down to DeLand, Florida, and I was very fortunate to stand right beside of him and watch him train.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and I mean, I had a Nautilus Health Club in Tennessee, and I went to DeLand myself, and you know, it was amazing to me that Arthur Jones would use Casey Viator as his model to sell Nautilus, when Casey Viator probably I don't even know if he used Nautilus, you know.
That's the truth, but go ahead.
And then you got the Menzner brothers, and I was very interested in their high intensity method of training, and I thought that had a lot of application toward not only size, but mental toughness.
Exactly, yes.
So I was very interested in what they were doing at times.
Very familiar with that type of training, yes, sir.
And because I've always been a leg freak, I actually met Tom Platz once. And Tom Platz was looked like about 5'4", but you know, he had tremendous legs.
And you talk about intense training, Jeff. You know how it's incredible what he did.
And you know the one that was one of the most impressive to me was Frank Zane. You know, because he had so much symmetry. And I like reading about some of his programs and so forth. So, you know, and then another guy was Robbie Robinson. So I just wanted to mention that. But what I wanted you to talk a little bit about was let's talk a little bit about nutrition back then and how you prepared for a contest. And was that a healthy venture or an unhealthy venture?
Bodybuilding. When you get down to the contest training, Jeff, it is not healthy. We were on very, very low carbohydrates. The only carbohydrates we would get really would be two pieces of wheat toast in the morning. And how we trained for energy, and I've got to remember, because this is a long time ago, and I had a lot of pictures and all I had diaries. I had journals, nutrition, training, everything. And all my pictures from a lot of them from California, some of them were, I got a few, but were destroyed in a water. They were stored in where my water heater was, and it busted when we first moved to Charlotte. But the nutrition side of it was not, but we put down the protein, and protein is important. And then we didn't really know how much. Now we know. We have the science to back it up. I'm very fortunate to be a certified, which really means, you know, but still from the ISSN, which I'm very proud of. That's the hardest exam I've ever studied for, International Society of Sports Nutrition. So when working with people from a legal standpoint, I can do that and talk. But it's very, I recommend that highly, studied a year for it. We know now, we have scientific research on how important protein is. Back then we knew it, but we didn't have anything to back it up. I remember even in high school, in college, well, you don't need more protein. Yes, you do. Especially me and you, Jeff, as we age. The older people, you need more protein. But back then we just knew it was tuna. I don't need a lot of tuna this day because, gosh, I put down 3 or 4 cans a day. And chicken breast. No red meat. And now contest prep, you're going to have a little red meat to keep you hard, to keep you full, that full effect. We'll get into that. But so green vegetables were important. I ate a ton. I had to get down to the Mr. USA. That was my weight class of 176. So a lot of grapefruit, just a little bit of fruit during the morning. But just from then on, after lunch, it was nothing but meat. We did eggs, we did chicken, we did tuna, but nothing fish other than, you know, some flounder, some salmon. But now we know we didn't have the research on creatine back then. All we really had was then not a lot of supplements at all. And I don't even remember having a protein supplement. Whey was really not discovered then. It was not out then. And you got to talk about the early 80s. And so it was just, we got our basic nutrition from foods. And so, but now, gosh, we know so much more about why you should have protein, the amount, creatine, just not how good it is for resynthesizing ATP. That's what creatine does. But now, even more important, Jeff, is now the older population, I would say into you start into your 50s, creatine every day. And there's more studies now on brain health for creatine than there is for muscular power. Okay? Yeah. So it's critical that for your cognitive health, for your memory, Alzheimer's, dementia, it's creatine. So I will take it until the day that the good Lord takes me home. That's how important, and the science now is just not through the resynthesizing ATP, adenosine triphosphate. It is brain health.
Right. Well, I know a little bit about creatine. We used to actually put it in our drink machines in the weight room.
Smart.
2 years back, and can't do that anymore. But
I remember. I got a call. I mean, everybody used to think, well, creatine is so bad. I got to say this. I got a call from a headmaster at a private school that a former Charlotte Hornet basketball player. My son's going to this school, and they're getting ready to kick him out of school. They found creatine in his dorm room. This is a national occurrence. I said, no, let me talk to him. And I'll have parents say, I don't want my son on creatine or daughter on creatine. Okay, just up your red meat, because creatine is found in fish and red meat. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's how far we've come on nutrition. And so anyway.
Well, let's talk a little bit about steroid abuse. But what I want to talk about there more than anything is testosterone, because so many people these days are on this TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. And I mean, you know, we're talking about some young folks as well. And this has become very popular. And I know that my physician is adamant about the fact that she believes that testosterone causes cardiovascular issues. What is your opinion there?
This is my opinion and mostly scientific research. I'm the kind of person that this, Jeff, I will go nothing but research, but I will have my opinion also. But so I don't, if you show me other research against mine and it's solid and there's study after study, I'll change my opinion in a heartbeat. I don't have any question. If it's research, show it to me. Here's the deal. Let's get back. The first thing you said, steroids, anabolic steroids. Well, that's a oxymoron. Steroids are anabolic. So you shouldn't steroids. All right. Back then, I took them. I'm not ashamed, because here's the deal. I had a doctor who gave them to me, who prescribed them. I went to him. He checked my blood work, did everything. We only took them back then in the 80s. You would take them maybe 2 months before a show. That's it. And then you got off. There's so much. And that's what Schwarzenegger did, Zane did, the Robbie Robinsons. That's why the golden age people, that's why they're still living this long. You don't see many. They're dying, of course, but they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
Now you've got bodybuilders passing away just like that. Why? They're over. One of the things, my personal opinion, and I've seen some research and read some articles. That's all I'm doing a lot of times is reading, because of the job I have now and research. Oh, it could be the overuse of steroids. We took them, but then we got right off. I've never had, and when I, that, the Mr. USA in 1983, that was it, because I knew I wanted to be a strength coach. When I got to Appalachian State, and you know, in the 80s, collegiate athletics was full of it. I was able to sit down with my players, get doctors in, and tell the harmful effects, our players, the harmful effects of it. Okay, so the steroids. Now the TRT. I have blood work done 2-3 times a year. And there's a place right up the street I'll go from time to time. I have no problem with men our age, Jeff, on TRT, if your testosterone is low. Mine is middle to high, because I'm lifting weights every day. And a lot of red meat, a lot of eggs, okay, lean red meat. If you're tough, that could be a game changer. I have no problem, no issues with that. Here's what I have a problem with. These young people now, they're on TRT and their testosterone is already high. And you tell me, when you go off of that testosterone, your pituitary gland has got to try to kick back in. And boy, it takes a while, because the pituitary gland, it's atrophied. It's not having to work anymore. You're giving it testosterone that it doesn't have to produce. So you're running in some big time, yes, cardiovascular from the long run of these young men. Yep, that could be down the road, because you're talking about a long span. your older population, I mean, their time here on this earth is short. But so if your testosterone is real low in the 200s, low 200s, anywhere in the 200s, I have no problem with that. I don't, because my testosterone is naturally middle range to high. And I have it checked often by people. I'm 67 years old, 67 and a half. So that's my take on that. I've heard it both ways. But it come to the other side, it's more positive from older men. If they're on TRT, it can be a game changer.
Yeah. Well, I still try to squat pretty heavy to keep mine up.
And I'll tell you, I just read an article, Jeff, research, yeah. And I'm great you brought that up. You want to keep your testosterone on. I saw the text on the squat. If you want to keep your testosterone high, two exercises you do as you age, you deadlift and you squat.
Yeah.
Then the German volume training, the 10 by 10, or at least when I squat, Jeff, now this past Saturday, I squatted 5x5. The next time I squat will be in the, it's between 6 sets and 10 sets. German volume training, 10 by 10. But at least go up to 6 sets of 10 reps, and here's why. Big time increases in testosterone levels, deadlift and squat. 6x10 or up 7x10, 8x10, on up 10x10. So it's very important. I think very important that you said that.
Well, interesting. So just one more question along those lines. Are you familiar with peptides, more specifically Ipamorelin, CJC-1295?
Yeah. Oh, I was just listening to a podcast this afternoon on peptides. And boy, there's a lot of them out there. And I will stop right there because this is... Some of that stuff is over my head. I've listened to it and I've listened to it. Peptides like SARMs can be detrimental.
Yeah.
It can have a negative effect. So it's just like the guys, remember at Clemson, who were thrown off the team or something happened. I'm not sure. But SARMs, a form of peptide and a form of a nano, only one molecule off from a steroid.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it there. There's some good ones out there. There's some detrimental ones out there. So peptides are the big thing. That's what the young bodybuilders now, or competitors, power lifters are getting into. And yeah. You better do your research. I'm not into that. I'm not going to take it. What's your, the two you mentioned, tell me about that, Jeff.
Well, taken together, they're known as more of a secreted GOG that stimulates growth hormone.
And growth hormone, believe it or not, and this is the research, growth hormone does very little to build muscle, to build protein synthesis. Here's what it does. It really, the other components, the other tissues around the muscle, the ligaments and tendons get stronger. So you will be able to lift more weight. But it also, say you got cancer, makes the cancer bigger. It enlarges everything. Just yeah. Not ligaments and tendons and getting it stronger. So there's a misinformed information about growth hormone. Says, man, I'm going to take this, I'm going to get huge. Well, it's not the muscles. It's not going to make the muscles bigger. It will make the ligaments and tendons much stronger so you can lift heavier.
Gotcha. Well, let's go ahead and move into your journey in strength and conditioning and talk a little bit about your experience at the high school level. And then when you went to UNC as an assistant and then from there Give us a little information there.
At University of North Carolina, 2 years with, you had him on last week, Jerry Palmieri. We became great friends. And the head strength and conditioning coach, Mike Marks, who was also in the book. Then from there, I got the head strength coach at Appalachian State. The very first strength conditioning coach at Appalachian State. I had some great, or all of them great years, from 83, 84 to 1990. I was under three great head coaches, Mack Brown, then Sparky Woods, then Jerry Moore. Some great men on those each staff. From there, I got to say this, Jeff, and you were in there. You've been through this. We had a little weight room at Appalachian State in the dungeon. No windows, nothing. I'd go in at 5 o'clock at dark. I'd walk out at dark. And you've done the same thing. And the sacrifices that we made. But back then, hey, we did what we had to do. And it was blue collar. It was work. And that's just what we did. I worked with all teams. Well, you've been there. So just not these guys just working with football nowadays. Holy cow, I can't only imagine. But then in 1990, got opportunity with the Charlotte Hornets. The first couple of years I did not travel. Then from around 1993, something like 94, started traveling with the team and up until they left in 2002, I believe. And so the travel, hard on the family. So when they left for New Orleans, I had some great experiences there. I can go into there if you want to, but I'll just briefly. So when they left New Orleans in 2002, I decided, no, I had the opportunity. I said, no, I had two little girls. I have two beautiful daughters, along with a beautiful wife, Michelle, and my two daughters, Claire, who is now the vice president of business communication at Control Supplements in Miami, Florida. Then I have Sydney. I got to say this, Jeff. I know you don't mind. Sydney, who my youngest, she lives in Nashville, Tennessee, outside in Franklin. She owns her own business. She videos weddings all throughout the country. Sydney Sigmund Films on YouTube. And so I'm blessed with two. But I didn't want to take them. I did not want to take them to New Orleans and raise them there. So Charlotte, outside Charlotte, Kannapolis, my hometown. And we were living outside Charlotte. And so it worked out. I went to work for Ortho Carolina. I was in charge or helped with their sports performance. But in the mornings, here's what made me a better strength coach. When the kids got out of school, then we'd do sports performance. But during when school was in session, they let me be a physical therapist. I just couldn't sign off on anything because I've been doing this for so long. I was also in coaching at A.L. Brown High School in Kannapolis, football and track. 1 year or two, I was a certified athletic trainer, so I helped out with the injuries. So I had a little bit of background. Being a physical therapist and assisting with physical therapy at Ortho Carolina, I would work with patients just like physical therapist, a regular one, certified. And I would do that. That made me a better strength coach because now I have great relationships at Ortho Carolina with doctors and physical therapists. If somebody needs help, one of my clients, I can direct them. If I can't get you better in 2 weeks, I'll direct you to a physical therapist. I don't try to be a physical therapist. I'm not certified. But just during that time at Ortho Carolina for 11 years, 10 years, great experience. From there, real quick, I went to work. Two good friends of mine, Eric Hillman and Jeff Compton, who owned Europa Sports Products, the largest distributor of nutritional supplements in the world. They said, Chip, we want you to come work for us. We got a 3,000 square foot weight room, take care of our employees. This was in my latter years. So I thought, hey, this is going to be great. And it was. And then you can run your personal training business while I was doing some on the side in our gym. And I did just that. When COVID hit, well, this is behind me. This is what I have. It's been a real blessing, Jeff, working with, I'm here in my garage 3 days a week. My wife's in here on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. I'm here on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Then my good friend, Eric Hillman, who was owner of Europa Sports, has a private gym that he just lets me, hey, Chip, you know, come on, my members are here. It's a private gym, but bring your people in too. And he's just been, it's just been an incredible blessing. That's what kind of guy he is, and a good friend. I just take care of the place for him while he's gone and while I'm there. So it's just been an incredible, I've been blessed. The Lord has blessed me, Jeff, in spite of me and the things I've just incredible blessings from him. And it's just, I'm just honored and humbled to be able to live the life. I'm still very involved in strength conditioning. Just attended the South Carolina State Convention. I spoke at the NSCA National Convention in Charlotte and this past January. And we talked about that. So just still involved in nutrition and research and training. I still have that passion. Still communicate with so many strength conditioning coaches like yourself, Mike Gentry, Jerry Palmieri, and others.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I had to, I went up to Ohio State's clinic, and then I went to the national conference down in Orlando. And so I'm still trying to keep my certifications.
Yeah, we still have that passion.
And when I was in Carolina, I pretty much referred everybody I had to Europa. I don't remember the guy's exact name that I dealt with there, but it's a great company, and
it was
put out some great products.
Sure do.
And I was at Steve Watterson's house here recently. We did a podcast there, and
Steve, I saw that. Yeah, great podcast, by the way.
Yeah, Steve has designed I guess quite a few products nutritionally, so for Advocare. But I don't know, what the status of that company is these days. But anyway, that was a big company where a lot of coaches were involved in for a long period of time.
I remember. It sure were. Yes.
So if you go back, let's talk a little bit about your spiritual life, a little bit about your thoughts there with regard to growing up and then through your marriage and having a family and leadership in the home and all those types of things. I've seen pictures of your beautiful family, incredible looking daughters. Give me a little bit of information there as far as some of your feelings in relationship to belief.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Well, my daughters, of course, they're beautiful because they get their looks from me. But it's been a journey, Jeff, that I've been close, so close to the Lord, and the other times when I've sat right beside of Satan. And yet, through it all, God's, and we talked about this earlier, God's love, His grace, and His mercy, and guiding me and directing me. And one of the most important things in my life, and we talked about this afternoon, is spiritual and physical discipline. I love discipline. I was in this garage at 6 o'clock this morning lifting. If I hadn't, I hadn't got it in. Then I've been with clients all day. I went out to eat lunch and came home rested, right back at it at the private gym. And I love it. I love discipline. I love working so hard. I studied a research for a year every day, preparing for the NSCA National Convention, getting up and speaking. Prepared a year for it, or from May until January, excuse me. That's how I love I love challenges. I know you're the same way.
Absolutely.
And it's the adversity.
Yeah.
What we dealt with in college, Jeff, what we dealt with in day-to-day adversity is something that really, gosh, it turned our stomachs at the time. I know you wouldn't. I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
The adversity that we faced, and God, through it all, through His love, His grace, and was His mercy. And there's no way I'm getting into heaven. No way. I'm not going there. Except for what He did on the cross for me, for me and you, Jeff, and others. And it's just incredible. He's been so good to me in spite of me, his love. And to think about it, when you pray and you ask for something, and Jeff, God's got a million other things to do. The world the way it is today, and yet he listens to me. He cares for me. He cares that, Lord, I want you to protect my daughters as they travel. I want you to, can you do this? Can you, was it thy will? Is it? And it's just incredible that people don't realize, if you want to be different in today's world, be a Christian. Because we live in a post-Christian era. You're talking about people that despise us, that mock us. If you want to be persecuted, if you want to live a different life, a Christian. I couldn't think of anything better now to physical discipline, to working out. I still love to feel the barbell in my hand, the dumbbell, the pump, the burning sensation. I still feel that. I love it. This, the hard work, the pain, the suffering. And the same, flip it on the spiritual side of discipline, of knowing in the morning I'm going to read something. I'm going to meditate on his word while I'm sipping my coffee. But so it's just the blessings. And there's going to be hardships. And oh gosh, it's a hard life. And you said it, we're all tempted. I cannot do it by myself. There's no way. I'll fail every time. But once again, and I ask each day, Jeff, each day, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to make it through this day, to make the right decisions. And I'm sure you what you're doing now is just incredible, Jeff. I commend you, and I love you so much, brother, for what you're doing. But I'll tell you, I try to reach, we talked about, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pound the Bible at my athletes or my clients. You got to do this. No, you do it in a loving, respectable way. To reach people. This is my situation. This is why I did. Now you're the adult. You make your own decision, but I'll tell you why, from a historical perspective of Christianity, and I'll tell you my belief and my faith in Christianity. And so I like what John MacArthur says. Why would anybody be ashamed of the gospel, especially in the world we live in today? I watched the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix.
So did I.
I think it's great. I think it's incredible. But you know this, Jeff. What's the one thing that Arnold's missing? Greg Laurie talked about it today on Facebook. Arnold says, no, there's no afterlife. This is it. And I'm really going to miss it. He doesn't realize, Arnold, there's so much that what you have done is incredible. I admire what he's done. I like what he says. Make yourself useful. Don't sit around and be anxious or depressed. I love that. Make yourself useful. Arnold, you've been such an impact. But what you don't have, the one thing that you miss more than anything, is a personal relationship with Christ. And so no doubt. Louis Simmons the same way, West Side Barbell.
Yeah.
So that's how much. Oh, and do I make mistakes every day? Oh, my goodness. But his love, his forgiveness, his grace, and his mercy.
As far as the training goes, you know, my whole thing is that I beat my buddy and put him under me. And, you know, basically, it's just like you say, I sent you a video of me squatting on my machine the other day.
I love that machine. I love it. I loved it.
Yeah, it's an awesome machine. But, you know, I had my hip replaced, and they said, hey, you'd never squat and all this.
Look at you.
But at the same time, you know, my doctor said, if you do what I tell you to do, your hip will be stronger than it's ever been. So,
yeah,
I just try to teach that hip a lesson every once in a while. But, you know.
Amen.
I'm ready to land with you there. I wanted to mention just the fact that, you know, at some point in our careers, way back when, you know, we had some experience at the high school level. And, you know, what I wanted to mention was I got so much satisfaction out of that. I was a football coach, head wrestling coach, and strength coach, all that kind of stuff. But you just feel a lot of satisfaction from the athletes and also the parents as well. And then, of course, when you move to the collegiate level, you just become so enthralled with winning and trying to keep your job for the next year from year to year. I only had one multiple year contract and I actually left it and went somewhere else. But, you know, you really don't get as close to the athletes as you'd like to. And because you're just so consumed with trying to be accomplished. And then a lot of coaches, I think, are looking for green grass somewhere else all the time. You know, where can I go next? So they spend most of their time looking for another job. And what's been very rewarding to me is when I retired and I started to train people, younger people, one-on-one, I started to get that satisfaction back again, that appreciation and you know, that deep appreciation and also that deep appreciation from parents at times as well. And I just think there's a lot of value in that. And it's something that we kind of forget about. And it's something that, you know, I wish that somehow I could have got, you know, more involved with the players even than I was at the collegiate level from that standpoint, from, you know, influencing their spiritual lives, mentoring more. And keeping more people in the program over a four-year period. So just wanted to mention that and see if you had any thoughts there.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly with what you're talking about. In high school, junior varsity football coach, and then you went up to the high school to coach the defensive ends there. We won the South Piedmont Conference, in junior varsity. All that was great. Such an influence on those kids. They just took to everything you were saying. Back then, Jeff, the kids, they hung on every word. High school football coach was like a father figure, was like a god. I mean, you respected those men so much. And then you're exactly right. When you get to college, you can have those relationships, but you better win.
Yeah.
You had better win. I thought Coach Sparky Woods was going to get let go his first year, but we cranked at it. We won the first two Southern Conference football championships that Appalachian State had won in a very, very long time, back to back. Yeah. Sparky and his staff was just, love those guys to death. And so, yeah, it's totally different. Now, and just like I said earlier, I'm not going to beat them with the Bible. I'm like, you got to do this. That's not the way you go about it. You do it with love and respect.
Yeah.
And wisdom. And they see the best thing, people just want to see how you're living your life today. Are you cussing every word? And I can let some, you know, you make a mistake, you might say something, but it's not constant. It's not your language, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself. And here's the deal, Jeff, the way you care about your athletes, your clients.
Yeah.
People want to know. They don't know how much, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about it.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to run any kind of kumbaya venture. You know, I mean, I'm encouraging people to get out of bed and get ready to battle.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, put on the armor of God and grab that, whatever you do, grab that sword, grab that word of God.
It's the armored life that you've got right now, Jeff. And that's why this can be such an influence.
Don't let the enemy steal your future. Don't let the enemy steal your joy, you know, and recognize when you're being attacked with regard to your weaknesses, your temptations, your weaknesses, and get ready to fight that battle. You got to recognize the battle. You got to get ready to armor yourself to fight it.
Amen. Every day, Jeff. I agree. You know, agree completely.
I'm going to speak to a couple more FCA get-togethers this summer, and you know, those are the types of things that I'm going to talk about, of course, for these young people. And I'm just trying to basically have God give me some, keep giving me some form of platform.
Well, he's done that, just that, Jeff, for you. And look at what you're doing right now with these podcasts. Just incredible. How I remember you give me a phone call and God had planted a seed for the Armored Life. I remember that day, Jeff. You asked me to come aboard. And by the way, that article on, I'm writing an article on fats. Yeah. Saturated monohydrate fats and polyunsaturated fats. And I'm having a lady dress it up for your Armored Life website for mine. And so that should be coming up on your website soon. But look what you've done. And it's just incredible. Just one seed and look where it's grown. And I commend you for that, Jeff.
Well, much appreciated. And I really appreciate, all these things that kind of fell into place. And particularly this, the podcast, Sports Objective. I'm very thankful for their invitation. Before we close, I want to talk a little bit about Brad Loyne.
Thank you.
Who we both had a chance to coach with. And Brad coached our D-line in Carolina. I don't even recall what years there were, but and I also had a chance to coach his son, Will. Will's been in the NFL now. I don't know what his title is, but I know that he's somewhere in the NFL still. But I was very much shocked to hear that Brad had passed. And, certainly at a young age. And so, maybe talk a little bit about your friendship with Brad.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you for the opportunity. Brad passed away a week ago today. I had talked to him the Friday before that on the phone. He called me. I coached with and just wanted to talk, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But I coached with Brad at Appalachian State all those years from 83 to 89. They left for the University of South Carolina. Sparky said, called me in the office and he said, Chip, he got the head football coach at University of South Carolina. And he said, Chip, he took his whole staff. He said, Chip, the president said I could take anybody I wanted to except the strength coach. I had to stay. But everything works out. Great relationship with Coach Moore. And then I met my wife. So everything works out. But Brad, we were close. Hadn't talked to him in a while. Then we reconnected. He had been so many Power Five schools. And you got to be good to stay in Power Five.
Yeah.
And you know what? He was intense. He told players, I'm not for everybody. I'm not going to serve you. He told mom and dad, I'm not going to serve them cookies and ice cream.
Yeah.
They're going to be better men. They're going to be better football players. And they're going to graduate. And Brad was tough, but Brad was intelligent. He knew his X's and O's. And here's the deal. Once again, Jeff, he cared about his players. He would talk about life. He would talk about the X's and O's. Anything you wanted to talk about, he would take time. But he loved his players. He was hard on them. He was one intense coach. Now, Will coach, his son, he was at Alabama, and now he is the tight end coach for the New England Patriots. And so I am going to go tomorrow. This is being done on a Thursday night. So Friday morning, I'm getting up. I'm driving to Lexington, South Carolina. The funeral will be at Lexington High School at 11 a.m. I will be there. And it's going to be a very sad reunion. There's a lot of ASU players, and I think maybe almost the entire staff is going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bittersweet. Yeah. There'll be a lot of hugs, a lot of handshakes, a lot of tears, a lot of love for one another, because we were, as you've been on, it was a very close staff.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of Brad's, if not the favorite, it might have been his favorite staff of all the staffs he's been on.
Yeah.
Because we were so close. So Brad Lawing, let me say this, and I'll close on him. He cared about his players. I had one player say, I was on the Black and Gold podcast last week, this time last week, talking about this same time. The Black and Gold podcast, Appalachian State. So I just thought about that a week ago tonight, talking about his passing. And Anthony Downs, defensive end for us, all conference, said this. Chip, coach, he was my ultimate coach. Tommy Dawkins, defensive end, defensive lineman. Coach, he was my father. He was like a father to me. And Tommy and Anthony, they're African Americans.
Yeah.
They loved him, and he loved them. So
what well, give a Will, great, give great Will a hug for me.
I will. You bet.
I want to also just mention that I want to ask you, you know when App State started football? What year did App State start football?
Ooh. Coach, I would get it wrong, but I'm thinking in the 30s when the Southern Conference started.
Yeah.
But the Southern Conference used to be the conference. And even I think Wake Forest was in it, University of North Carolina, and they switched to ACC. Appalachian State came in. But that I've seen pictures, and you've seen it, East Carolina and North Carolina, the stadium, and gosh, it was just bleachers there.
Yeah.
And you saw the same thing in East Carolina, how that's far that's come. So Appalachian is just, it's incredible what's happened there. And I think Sparky, if you don't mind me saying this, Jeff, I don't want to take too much time, but Sparky Woods, I think Mac started it when we won those two Southern Conference football championships. And then what, not taking anything Coach away, taking anything away from Coach Moore. What a great man. What a great, strong Christian man. He changed it. He changed the national championships. And so it is what it is today, I think, because of those two men as far as football. And that's how important college football is to a university. It can change the whole dimension of how that university is perceived.
Yeah, tons of coaches have come through there, similar to East Carolina. You know, Dwayne Lefford, who I coached.
Ruffin McNeil, Ruffin, just a great man.
Yeah. Well, Chip, I'm going to have to close, and I really appreciate you coming on. It's been awesome. Great to hear your story, and we'll be in touch here very soon. But I just want to thank you, and drive safe. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Jeff, I'm humbled, and it's been quite an honor to share this time with such a man as yourself. Thank you so much. You know I love you, brother.
Same here. So this is Jeff Connors signing off. God bless. We'll see you next week on Absolute Empowerment. Thanks a lot. See you later.
You've been listening to Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors on The Sports Objective. Join us every Monday night for a new edition of the show. Listen to the show pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to follow us on social media at TheSportsOBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at The Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!